to ourselves. Still talking about ministering edification to ourselves. Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28. I want to read from verse 10. Isaiah 28 from verse 10. Bible says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they will not hear. Let me read from verse 10 again. It says, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Hallelujah. And last week we looked at the how to minister edification to yourself through the instrumentality of tongues. And we had 1 Corinthians chapter 14 as our main text. And one of the things I want us to realize is that we're looking at what the Bible says about the ministry of tongues, a ministry in education in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 28, we see a prophecy that is being fulfilled in the New Testament, where God already spoke by the Spirit through the prophet Isaiah and said the fact that with stammering lips and another tongue, will he speak unto these people. So one of the things we established last week was the fact that while tongues is primarily a devotional gift, which means it's a means by which we communicate with God, who is a spirit, there is also a dimension of that particular gifting wherewith God can actually use to communicate back to you. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and verse 2, where the Bible says, he that speaketh in our own tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. So we said that, well, the plan of God is that you will speak mysteries, but the plan of God is not that everything you speak should remain a mystery. God's plan is that for there to be full fellowship, fellowship is based on knowledge. Fellowship means there is a commonality of interest. Fellowship means that there are things that we share. Now, we're sharing a number of things in common with God because as he is, so are we. His nature is our nature. His standing in heaven in authority and glory is also the standing we have also, according to the law of Genesis. The law that says everything we produce after his kind. And because we're created in his image, the fullness of that image has not yet come to bear upon us in our physical environment. Hence the need for tongues. So while we use tongues as a devotional gift in communicating with God, which the Bible says, he that speaketh is speaking mysteries. It's a language that's conveying certain things. What is a mystery? A mystery is not something that nobody knows. A mystery is something that a few people know. But it's not open to all. Another way to define a mystery is something that requires initiation to understand. So we said that if you stay in the shallow waters, where you start out praying in the spirit and you leave it a realm of mystery, you have not entered into the fullness of purpose of tongues. That the plan of God is that it will be a means to an end and not an end in itself. So a believer that's filled with the spirit and starts speaking in tongues, if he's going to enter into rich fellowship with God, must first understand why tongues. Why did God introduce it? What is the benefit? Why was it necessary? Hallelujah. Now, for us to understand that, even though we've gone through that before, but for the purpose of establishing these truths, one of the things that Peter told the church was that I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance, which is you've had it and you're establishing this, but the way you get more established that you keep hearing the same truths over and over and over until you know it so well that even in your dream, in your sleep, you can actualize it. John's Gospel chapter 16. Whatever Jesus says about the Holy Ghost has a lot to do with the ministry of the Spirit of God in our midst today. So let's look at one of the things that Jesus said about the Spirit of God. Verse 7. John's Gospel chapter 16. Verse 7. Let me just say something as a background because sometimes some things are important. Side journey, but extremely important also. Verse 1 says, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Here the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that doeth God's will. I'm reading from verse 1. Verse 3, these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I've said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Hallelujah. Now, so there's things that Jesus said to them, actually from John chapter 14 to John chapter 16, Jesus said some amazing things in his farewell message to his disciples and apostles. And in their natural thinking, in their only created state, they were filled with sorrow, not with joy, because they didn't know the implication of those things. Now, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient or necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, Jesus was rejoicing the fact that he was going. His disciples were sad about the fact that he was going. So, obviously, there was an issue of a knowledge barrier. Jesus knew the implication of his going. But the disciples did not know the implication. All they knew was that the Comforter that they had in Jesus was about to leave. And Jesus was trying to communicate them that, actually, it is necessary for me to go. Because if I go, everything that God has planned for you to be, you can be once the Spirit of God comes. Hallelujah. So let's read on. It says, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You know, it's difficult for the average believer to actually comprehend the fact that when you're speaking out in tongues and utterance is given to you to speak out a message by God, that that's actually Jesus talking to you. Because Jesus said he shall not speak of himself. So if you are speaking by the Spirit, do you really realize that that's Jesus talking to you? That Jesus said the Holy Ghost will not give you his own personal opinion. It's whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak. So that if you're speaking by the Spirit, if you really understand why tongues is so important, you realize that every time you get over into inspired utterances, it is Jesus by the Spirit of God speaking directly to you or giving you his mind or counsel about a particular issue. He said he won't speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will guide you into all truth. All truth. Now, all truth means two different things. All truth means the fact that there is a level of knowledge or there's a body of knowledge that was not readily available to them at that time. The second phase is this. Concerning you as an individual, there's what the Bible calls all truth, or the fact that there is no way you will understand immediately everything that God has in mind for you. In fact, truth, when it comes to working with God, is a progressive thing. For instance, now, there are things you will receive at a particular level of growth that you may not receive at another. That you come to an understanding, and that's why, as you are growing in things of the Spirit, you understand that spiritual growth has a lot to do with revelation of the truth of God's word. And revelation is progressive. What makes a difference in the work of each believer is the fact that we're not necessarily functioning at the same level of revelation. So our actions can never be enough for us to judge each person. If we are strictly living by reason of how much we know, based on what has been revealed to us in our work with God, then definitely our actions will not coincide. Our actions will be different. So the Bible says it will guide you into all truth. All truth implies that there is progressive knowledge. Or that what you know or what you knew 2 years ago is not what you know now. And if what you knew 2 years ago is not what you know now, the level of results you commanded 2 years ago obviously will not be the level of results you command now. It will guide you into all truth. So if a man is filled with the Spirit, and Jesus said he will guide you into all truth, when he's praying in the Spirit and he's speaking in tongues, he is being guided into all truth as much as he can receive. Why do we pray in tongues? Realize that Jesus never prayed in tongues. And is the head of the new creation. In fact, there was somebody that brought up a thought wondering, what if when Jesus rose from the dead, why didn't he start speaking in tongues? Because before he went to the grave in the first place, he didn't have need to. When he rose from the grave, he still didn't have need to. For a simple reason, Jesus' mind was completely renewed. One of the major reasons why we pray in tongues or this, a believer is filled with Spirit, we definitely speak in tongues because our minds are not renewed. And God therefore had to give us a mechanism by which we can bypass the limitation in our minds and we can still fellowship with God. Hallelujah. What that means is this. What language do you speak? The language basically that your mind understands. So what we call understanding is something that your mind can work with. But tongues is not something that your mind can work with. But tongues can produce something that your mind can work with. So we are saying that if a man is speaking in tongues, what he's doing is he's fellowshipping beyond his mind or beyond the level of knowledge. But the fruit of that fellowship should be that something should be battered in him that will actually bring his mind into the light. Where is your spirit now in God? It is in great light. Where is your mind now? It's not necessarily enjoying the greatness of that light. What is song supposed to do to bring your mind into that great light? Why is the mind so important? It is a tool of transformation. Let me rephrase it. My mind has been given an intermediary position. It stands as a referee or an umpire concerning the events that will be permitted to manifest in my life. My spirit is the source of those events. My mind is the one who either permits or rejects experiences. So my mind is not born again, but it's been gradually renewed. It means that there are thoughts, there are realms of knowledge that my mind is yet to come into. And that's sometimes one of the reasons why there is what you call delay in manifestation. But rather than depend on that, God has given me a supernatural avenue whereby I will not only fellowship with Him, but I will be able to bypass the limitation of that unrenewed mind, so that through that same instrument by which I'm fellowshiping with God, thoughts will be dropped in that will actually reconstruct or reconfigure the state of my mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, 1 Corinthians 14 now. Are you there? Verse 2 again. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men edification, exhortation, and comfort. But he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. But he that prophesies edifies the church. I would that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret that the church may receive what? Edifying. So we understand that if tongues is supernatural or transcendental own language, and the Bible says that any man who is speaking in tongues, not just speaking to dogs, is edifying himself. That the edification is ministering to himself is of no benefit to anyone except himself until he actually moves over from tongues into prophecy. We define what tongues is, that tongues is supernatural utterance in a known language, but prophecy is supernatural utterance in a known language. So we're saying that why is he being able to use prophecy to edify others? The reason is very simple. If prophecy is supernatural utterance in a known language, a known language will naturally appeal to the mind, so the mind can be built up or edified. But as long as it's praying strictly in tongues, he's only administering edification to himself. Then we said something last week. Many times, part of what we do when we spend time speaking in our own tongue is that we are releasing edification. It doesn't mean we are necessarily ministering edification. Releasing edification and ministering edification is not the same. Let me say that again. Releasing edification and ministering edification is not the same. You notice that verse 2, it talks about he that speaketh. Verse 14 talks about that if I pray in our own tongue, my spirit prays. If I sing, my spirit is what? Singing. So we have speaking, we have praying, we have singing. It's not every time I speak and I'm praying, but there's no time I will pray, I won't need to speak. Yes or no? Is that clear? Good. So the Bible talks about that if it's tongue and it's a supernatural language, and you use language in the place of prayer, but you also use language to also communicate certain things. And whenever you're also singing, it's also in the language, isn't it? Now, tongues are exactly the same way. What's the difference? It's a spiritual language. So it's what you call like a spiritual parallel of a spiritual man's natural language. So let's pray that another way. What he's saying is this, that if I am speaking in tongues, I am releasing edification. Why? I'm edifying myself. Now, though I'm edifying myself, the edification that I'm actually releasing is of no benefit to me as long as that which I'm seeing remains as tongues. Because the Bible really calls that dimension of tongues a mystery. To my spirit, it is not a mystery, but to my mind, it is. Now, it's a means to an end. What is the end? That my mind may come to the understanding that my spirit already has. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No. When my mind begins to walk in line with the understanding that my spirit has, it's called edification. Hallelujah. When do I get edified? When what my spirit knows becomes understanding to my mind. My spirit knows I am seated with him in heavenly places. My spirit knows that principalities and powers have been spoiled, but my mind may be afraid of the same principalities and powers. What can I do to free my mind from the fear? I minister edification which is the fact that the tongues move from the realm of mystery to understand in my mind. That which my spirit knows to be true, my mind now knows to be true. My mind and my spirit are working together. I am set to be edified. Hallelujah. Oh, do you understand? I am set to be edified. Now, I'm going to great lengths to explain, because until we practice, it will remain a teaching. Until we experiment, it will remain a doctrine. When you practice, you will now learn, not by teaching alone, but by experience, that these things are so. So, what is the teaching meant to do? It gives you basis upon which to go and start. What will you discover as you start? By experience, you realize that edification is being consistently ministered at any time you choose to. In fact, it's not within God's control, it's within your control. What's within God's control? He fills you with His Spirit. That which the Holy Ghost will do, because He is like God, is as consistent as God. What does that mean? He is going forth, He's prepared as the morning. Jesus has told us in advance what the Holy Ghost will do. What will He do? He will guide you into all truth. So it is safe for me to say that anytime the Holy Ghost is in operation, particularly by that word anointing, the Holy Ghost is doing what Jesus said He will do. He is guiding me into all truth. What else will He do according to what Jesus said? He will bring to my remembrance whatsoever Jesus has said to me. So past prophecies, time spent in prayer and retreat, things that Jesus spoke to me that I have forgotten, the Holy Ghost will bring to my remembrance. But what am I expected to do to allow the Holy Ghost? Because I cannot get the Holy Ghost to do those things based on feeling. Why? He is beyond the realm of feelings. He is a person, but He doesn't respond to feelings. He responds to faith, because God is a faith God. If the Holy Ghost responds to faith, it says He that speaketh. It means that there is my willingness, my readiness to enter into those things is a function of my speaking. So the same way I can choose to speak, I can choose not to speak. When I choose to speak, what I'm telling the Holy Spirit is that I am a student and the teacher should be ready to teach me and to instruct me. So the Bible says, He that speaketh, it means that it's something I do consciously. Why am I doing that? I want to get into edification. What is edification? Once again, it is that my mind may come to the understanding that my spirit has. My spirit knows that as He is, so am I in this world. My spirit knows that He has power, principalities and powers. My spirit dwells on an island of victory perpetually. But my mind does not. So if there's any fluctuation, that's why my spirit and the spirit of Christ are the same. What I mean by that is, as God is consistent, so your spirit man is consistent. There are no fluctuations in the spirit of a born Christian. Where do the fluctuations come in? In the mind. What is God's tool, therefore, for helping the mind? Edification. What do we normally do? Many times, we can't even differentiate between praying in tongues and speaking in tongues. Brother God, can you differentiate when you are praying to God and when you are speaking to me? Can you differentiate? Can you differentiate when you are praying in tongues and when you are speaking to me? So when you are praying to God and when you are speaking to me, you can differentiate, can't you? Now, the question is, how do you differentiate? The answer is simpler than you think. Purpose. Dr. Kenegin said, all tongues are the same in essence. It's only purpose and usage that's different. So, I want to pray. It is what I want to do that determines what I use the tongues for. What does that mean? Tongues works more in line with the will of man than most believers realize. Father, I want to spend time praying in the Spirit now. And I want to speak word mysteries. And there's a time when the Bible says, because the same tongues that we're using to pray, Paul says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So if a believer is going to start from the angle of that, I need understanding in certain areas of life. What's wisdom? What to do? What to do? What I need to do in a given situation. What do I do now? That's wisdom. Paul said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. You know, it makes sense to now understand what the Bible says, that we are complete in Him. It means you really don't need God to add anything else. The new creation is a complete creation. It can act on what He knows. Hallelujah. If you can act on what you know. The truths we are sharing, they are simple, yet they are complex. Because of the fact that it's really practiced. If you tell the average Christian, he tells you, are you trying to say I am God? No. We are trying to say that you having the Spirit of God, not as a visitor, as a permanent dweller. means that whatever you require and you need is at your beck and call if you act. Hallelujah. Last time when Pastor Seku came, one of the things that he said that really, really blessed me was the fact that he said that if you don't pay attention to your spirit, you are not paying attention to God. It will shock you. It sounds like, you know, but that statement is more real than you think. Because God is paying serious attention to your spirit. In fact, God has invested all his trust in your spirit. God has made your spirit his candle. So if God is going to show you anything, he's going to do it by your spirit. So if you choose another means, you will lose out on what God wants to do. Here's what every Christian does. He completely ignores the spirit and says he's focusing on God. And God is saying, if you are really focusing on me, God is the spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit means your spirit, in communion with God's spirit, is you worshiping in truth. So for you to leave your spirit out of that fellowship and say, I am seeking God, is not to worship God in spirit and in truth. Because God is the architect of the new creation. And it's God that said, you are complete in him. Where? Not in your mind, but in a new creation. Now, the part of you that is complete is meant to bring the part of you that's not complete into union. Which part is not complete? Your mind. Your mind. Your mind. Hallelujah. Your mind. Let me put it another way. The way your spirit, like God's spirit, wants to act, most of the time is different from the way your mind wants to act. Hence the necessity for renewing the mind. Renewing means, can we bring the mind to operate like the spirit operates, knowing that the source of information the mind usually operates on or acts on is different from the source of information that the spirit acts on. And that's why the renewal is necessary. So the spirit is constantly aware of the risen Lord, of the fact that now you are seated with him, of the fact that you are supposed to walk in the newness of life, of the fact that you have been redeemed from the curse of the law, of the fact that he always causes you to triumph. Your spirit is aware. But your mind is feeding on another source of information, your environment. What people are saying, what the circumstance is saying, what the situation is saying. Remember when Jesus walked on the sea to go to disciples, when he told them to go to the other side. One of the most interesting things about that scripture is that Jesus told them to go to the other side. And Bible says, when the wind was now contrary in the middle of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. And at that point in time, the wind was contrary. The storm had risen mightily. The disciples were greatly afraid. Now, Jesus walked on the sea in the midst of the storm. Accounts in the four gospels will tell you that most of the time when the storm arose on the sea, Jesus rebuked the storm. But in this particular instance, Jesus did not rebuke the storm. Not only that, since we know that Jesus functioned as a prophet, he must have known that there will be a storm. Yet he sent disciples to go. I believe he was to teach them a lesson. Because he told them to go. And because he is the living word, he told them, go over to the other side. He didn't say, go and drown. Now, the issue was this. They focused on the evidence of the wind and of the senses. Jesus walked on the same wind and the same storm and came near to them. By the time Jesus entered the boat, without rebuking the wind, there was a great calm. Let me put it this way. Jesus walked on the wind, didn't feel the necessity to rebuke it. He was having a great time walking on the water. Did not rebuke it. The minute he entered the boat, the wind ceased, which tells you that the wind must have arisen for only one purpose: to confuse disciples and to discourage Jesus. Why was Jesus discouraged? His mind was renewed. Somebody says, what does it mean to have a new mind? Based on what I said before, very simple. It is for your mind and your spirit to be alike in their thinking. What does that mean? The information the mind of Jesus was feeding on was the same information that the spirit had. So Jesus was not moved by the storm. He was not moved by the storm. He walked on it and was not remotely afraid of sinking. And that was the message he was trying to pass across to Peter. What did we see happen to Peter? Peter started sinking because his mind wasn't renewed. But when he saw the wind boisterous, question, wasn't the wind boisterous before? The wind had been boisterous all along. Number two reason, men don't walk on water. So the wind had nothing to do with his walking on water, because men don't walk on water. So you can't say that, you know, if the wind had been calm, whether the water is calm, it's not calm, men don't walk on water. Gravity will operate. It will start going down. So that he walked, you'll have told him something is in operation. Where did the challenge come in his mind? He saw. What does it mean to see? Sight. What is sight? One of the senses. What did sight? He fed his mind with an information. He tampered with the flow that his faith already had, believing on the word of Jesus. What happened? He began to sink. It's like you're halfway. Your mind is like, what are you doing? Are you okay? Do you know you're walking on water? Are you supposed to walk on water? And he realized, that's true. Something's wrong with this. Why am I walking on water? And he began to sink. His focus shifted. Why did that happen? Renewal of the mind. Now, imagine the same Peter who started, who failed. It's the same Peter now. So now you understand what tongues in Acts chapter 2 are done in Peter's life by Acts chapter 9. Such that when somebody died, they didn't think of calling anybody but Peter. When people die, they prepare them for burial. When the person died, they call Peter. And Peter chased them out. What had happened between that time and that time? Somebody had spent a long time, obviously, defying himself in tongues. Let me say this, brothers and sisters. If you are going to raise his dead, you have to be greatly edified. What's education? Renewing the mind. What's renewing the mind? Information or revelation from your spirit has entered into your soul of the plan and purpose of God. That this person is not supposed to die, and that God wants to do, because your mind will tell you, if you pray and nothing happens, you are finished. But in the first place, you have never raised dead and you never will. Only Christ will raise dead through you. How will it happen? Renewing the mind. How will you renew mind? Praying in tongues. How will that occur? Edification will be administered. So, if you understand that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, you know the plan of God is not that it should remain a mystery. Now, the plan of God is that you should actually minister edification or building up to yourself. Then when you start out speaking, you can exercise yourself and say, I am going to spend 30 minutes speaking in tongues. And what I'm going to speak out are the mysteries of God, or the wisdom of God is going to speak out of my lips. And I'm going to receive supernatural counsel and wisdom for that which I speak first. You are the one who determines what you want to receive. What you want to receive is always available. Here's the question. If you don't practice, you don't get into it. It's amazing how many believers have started out speaking in tongues and they stopped. I really am not sure I know of any other supernatural avenue of communicating with God that has been hindered by the enemy more than speaking in tongues. More than speaking in tongues. I mean, for 6 months, I didn't speak in tongues after speaking. Because I was so discouraged. I mean, you start speaking in tongues and you feel dry. You feel like nothing's happening. You feel like, why am I doing this? Is this not stupid? Let me go back to what I understand. Father, Lord. Like I went somewhere on Sunday and I said I was going to have a private discussion with that minister. I said, why are you praying? It's like, you know, you can tell when people read a prayer from a book. You can tell that they read the prayer from a book. Everybody say after me, oh God, my Father. It's a formula. And his faith is hinged on him because he thinks that if he doesn't say, oh God, my Father, the prayer won't be answered. But that's formula. But God is not into formulas. God is into fellowship. Hallelujah. I know when you are in fellowship, strange things happen. Fellowship completely removes religious ideas. Fellowship is that if you, okay, let me ask you, if I ask us now that, if I give you a piece of paper and I say, can you please write down for me how you start our fellowship with God every day? You'll be amazed what people here will submit that we're different. Some people say, I first start thanking God. I start giving thanks. And I ask you, what is the content? What do you say? Somebody says, I usually start singing. And for most people, you see that it's the same 3, 4, or 5 songs that you sing. It's the same. It hasn't really changed. And then you ask another person, that one say that I first start confessing. All of them are right as far as the work works with you. But all of them can improve. What does that mean? I only came to see me and said, Pastor, I want to really pray in tongues for a long time. But sometimes when I start singing, like I just start singing for songs I don't know. I just start singing. I said, the person you want to pray to is the one who is giving you a chance to sing in tongues. Why don't you just continue and see where it will lead you? But because you are so regimented, I must sing for 15 minutes and pray in tongues for 45 minutes. After 45 minutes, I must give, that's formula. And once you are rigid, what rigidity produces that, the day you don't do it, you start feeling guilty. Huh? Can you imagine? I only sang today, I didn't pray in tongues. God wasn't pleased. No, you are the one who is not pleased. Because you are bringing my religious idea and not that freedom. Bible says we have been called on to liberty. Hallelujah. What is edification? It is ministering God's counsel, God's wisdom, God's enablement to your soul. Directly. Let me read that verse again. Look at verse 3. But he that prophesies speaks unto men, what? Edification and what? What is prophecy? Supernatural utterance is what? A known language. Verse 4. He that speaks in a known tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. So if I'm speaking in tongues consciously and I'm not praying to God, what am I actually releasing? Edification. Now, look at verse 5. I will that ye all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. Do you know the original Greek actually says, I will that you all speak with tongues in order that you might prophesy. Let me read that again. King James says, I would that you all speak with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. Rather means there is a preference. I prefer. I really want all of you to. But the original Greek actually says that, I would that you all speak with tongues in order that you might prophesy. So Paul is introducing the means to an end. I want all of you to pray in tongues with the purpose of prophesying. Or getting into inspired utterance. Remember, we said, prophecy doesn't mean thus hear the Lord. It is Lord that is saying, but it's not necessarily thus hear the Lord. It is you speaking by inspired utterance in a language you understand and it can be administered to yourself. So he says, I will that you all speak with tongues in order that you might prophesy. What that means is this, when you start speaking in tongues, you should understand that God wants you to get over into prophecy. What is prophecy? It's the same thing as psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs because they all function by spiritual prophecy. So, I wake up in the morning, I start worshiping God and blessing God. I start praying in the spirit. And as I pray in the spirit, I notice. And that's why a lot of people miss out. Because a lot of people think that when the supernatural is working naturally, you can easily miss it. Let me phrase that. The supernatural is working naturally. What that means is this. It is the supernatural, but it's not manifesting in a spectacular way. So it's easy to miss. So you start saying things like, I thought it was just me thinking. No, it wasn't just you thinking. Are those thoughts edifying or did they build up? Then it is part of the interpretation of the things you just finished speaking. I would that you all speak with tongues in order that you may prophesy. So if anyone is able to pray in tongues, everyone who can pray or speak in tongues can prophesy. What people do is this, they depart. They have spoken, but they depart from the interpretation. They don't wait for the end. It's a means to an end, but they don't know when they, why don't they wait for the end? They don't have knowledge that there's an end in sight. If I know there's an end before I begin, I consciously start with the end in mind. If I consciously start with the end in mind, that's why the laws of God are so definite that all of us that are here, I can see that in front of Brother God this one, say, everybody let us pray in tongues to know the mind of God. And I give us 5 minutes. And I say, let's stop. One or two or three of us will come out and speak God's mind. Don't be surprised if all of them say the same thing. Somebody says, why? Are you saying you can activate God? Actually, that's what I'm saying. Actually, he's not activating God. He's finding out what God has already said. So why am I finding out? Actually, what you just revealed now, you just put your mind in a position to receive what your spirit already knows and always knew. That's what happened. So it's like though praying in tongues wakes you up to realities that are there, but your mind wasn't conscious of. Are there realities? Yes. Are you always aware? No. Why are you not always aware? As far as the mind of man is concerned, fluctuations occur because of change of moods, different feelings. And that's why we say, I don't feel spiritual. It's a feeling. You are still a spirit. Alive unto God. I don't really feel like praying. It's a feeling. You can never become a mature Christian living on feelings. You can't. Why? Feelings are so deceptive. That's why I like using this illustration. I think it happens more to ladies than to men. At their times, you don't feel married. It's a feeling, you know, you are seriously married. But now, if you're not around, you know, you feel like, I just want to go home today. I don't want to cook anything. I just want to be by myself. I don't want anyone to come and disturb me. It's a feeling. It will pass. When you get home and chairman sits down, you will know it's a feeling that you are married. You have to go and get the food. And if you will forget, the children will remind you when they shout mommy at the entrance that it's a feeling. Not only are you married, you are a mother. We are waiting for you. And your maternal instincts will kick in. What does that mean? You can have realities that your mind is not aware of. Tongues is meant to bring your mind into an understanding of those realities so you can walk in them. Without the understanding, walking is not possible. The understanding enables you to walk. So when the Bible says, I will that you all speak with tongues in order that you might prophesy. It means when you start out, don't always start out with mindset, I am going to speak in tongues for 1 hour, 30 minutes. Not a good exercise. But get ready. You know, sometimes I really wonder if you're going to pray in tongues for a long period of time, why don't you get a diary and a jotter? Because edification is not something, if you pray in tongues, you will be edified. It's a law. It's not something that happens sometimes. It doesn't happen sometimes because that seems to approach your spirituality. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. It works all the time. It's as sure as the sun rising and the sun setting. And that's what we need to understand. What we do is we depart from that which is ministered. How do we depart? First in the mind. I pray in tongues. Nothing is coming. I'm going. You know what you are saying? That the word of God is not true. You say, pray in order that you might prophesy. In order means that you will enter into that as sure as the sun rises. What does that mean? I am meant to practice. So the next time I want to pray in tongues, how should I pray? With knowledge. What knowledge? I should get into this. So I'm consciously looking out for it. What will happen? You will see it. You will see it. Why? It is God's design that you, through the same avenue that we are communicating with Him, you minister edification to yourself. It means you are now getting built up. Jude 20. Look at Jude 20. Jude has only one chapter. Are you there? Verse 20. Look at verse 20. It says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Did you see that? You, beloved, building up. Do you know the assignment of building up yourself? God has committed it to you. The assignment of building up yourself. How do I know God has committed it? He just said it here. Building up yourself. Notice this on your most holy faith. Do you have faith? Yes. Not only do you have faith as a believer, obviously the word of God dwells in you, but you can be built up on that word. But the word is already in you. Not only is it in you, it has produced faith. And as a building of yourself on your most holy faith, what that means is, another challenge is that make the faith that you have available. Do you know you can have faith and not be conscious? Let me put it this way. How many of us feel excited spiritually at some times than the other? Do you know the excitement really has nothing to do with the deposit of God inside of you? The excitement is your soul showing indication that is aware of certain truths. The excitement has nothing to do with when the deposits were placed. The deposits is there. So whether you're excited enough, for instance, now, the way you are now tonight, for instance, you may have gone to work and you went to work and a lot of things happened at the office, you did a lot of work. Now, you've gone involved with maybe calculations or writing out, you know, like different things that you do at place work. Now, your mind has been heavily into a lot of natural activity. So if you come to church and you're feeling spiritual, it is not a sin. It's natural. Hence the ministry of tongues. Which is that which I am not aware of, I can become aware of if I just start speaking. Tongues is proof there's a spiritual reality about me that is not readily obvious to the senses. I make it obvious to the senses when I begin to speak. But I have to do it. Be you, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith. So I have a holy faith at work in me. I can build up myself or develop myself on it or become conscious of it as I pray in the Holy Ghost. What does meditation do? It builds the word into you. What does praying in tongues do? It builds you on the word. There's a difference. When I meditate, the word of God is built into me. I see it in different light. When I pray in tongues, I am being built up on the word. Hallelujah. So I need you to see the correlation, because if it, like I said again, how, who is the best person that can minister education to you? The time will come when you can't always live on, just give me a word. Just give the word. Just say the word. There is somebody inside you who wants to give you the word at all times. Ask your spirit man. And your spirit man always has the word. Always has the word. Have you noticed that sometimes when you are feeling down or depressed, and you ask a colleague or friend to talk to you, do you notice what they are telling you is what you know? But was it seemingly was distant? Now that word was far. But what they are telling you is what you know. Have you noticed it's not really something new? But when they tell you some things, it will, as though it will come to you in a new light, in that sense. You say, and I know this, so why can't I seem to act on it? Edification. They're not built up on it at that point in time. You, believer, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. It will move you away from having what I call mental assent to the word to actually knowing and practicing the word. Let me give an illustration. Sonny, if you go to an herbalist house and incantations are being made against you, and he says he's going to place a curse upon you, is there a possibility you might be afraid? There's a possibility. Are you supposed to be afraid? Mentally, do you know you are seated with him? Mentally, do you know you are seated with him mentally? You don't know. Are you sure you don't know? Mentally, do you know that's me? You know you are seated with him, with Christ Jesus. You know. Do you know you are complete in him mentally? You know you are complete with Christ. I mean, don't you? You know you have authority to resist devil, don't you? When the man begins his, all his, you know, perambulations, and he's doing all kinds of things, and you are, and the sensation comes upon you as though everything's going to go wrong. Do you know the way your mind is cringing, your spirits are weak, and your spirits are alive, but your spirit can't do anything without the cooperation of your mind. So, what I'm about to say may sound strange. Do you know that inside of you is that more than conqueror being enthroned in Christ Jesus, who knows no fear, has never known fear, will never know fear. As long as you allow your mind to be the one that will confront the herbalist, you are finished. As long as you submit your mind to what your spirit will reveal to your mind, everything about your countenance will change. The victim suddenly becomes the victor. And the oppressor now becomes the harassed. And the change happens in a few seconds. Just by understanding. So, the difference between you and another Christian, who is exposed to the same level of word, is the fact that someone is built up, you are not built up. Both of you have the same faith. One's faith is available for use, yours is in hiding. Or let me use the word, is in the storeroom. It is not the potency of the adversary. Never. It is the weakness of the mind at the point of contact. When we say a mind is edified, we are saying that it has been strengthened with the strength of Jehovah itself. Hallelujah. Do you understand? So when we say we had a battle and we lost it, what we are actually saying is this. The appearance of a circumstance defeated us in our minds. Where do we need that strength? Really, really is actually in the mind. Hence the need for edification. When I was on campus, it used to happen more to me on campus. Maybe because on campus I faced all kinds of things. So I'll pray in the morning, I'll pray in tongues. And after praying in tongues, I will move on to Psalms. I just find myself encouraging. If I just have encouraging myself along the particular, I know that there are certain things happening. Sometimes there are days when I was expecting someone and the money won't come. I just noticed that the Psalms I'm talking about that are talking about the faithfulness of God. He will never leave me nor forsake me. I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen you righteous forsaking because I'm about to be forsaken. No, you see the begging bread. I will never beg for bread. Jehovah is my supply. He's my constant source of help. He's my assistance. He has become my salvation. I have more than I need at all times. He raises men up to assist me. When I start saying that, now, I'm speaking out of my spirit. My mind is hearing, so I can still think. I can still think. So as I'm thinking, I'm telling myself on the nurse, this is my mind and saying that, that guy is not going to pay that money. Now, I'm fellowship with God, remember. What is happening? My mind is being fed with the knowledge. There's a strength that comes. What happens is the disappointment that will come during the day will no longer be disappointments. Why? God has raised up a standard on the inside and has put the enemy to flight. So, both of us hear certain news. One of us is down, the other is not. What's the difference? The other one has been built up. Bible says concerning the righteous, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. When he says heart there, he's not talking about spirit. He's talking about the mind. It means that there's a difference in what he has in his mind. That's what happened to David and his brothers on the battlefield. If you two stay on the battlefield and for 40 days you hear propaganda, whatever Goliath said to them for 40 days, I become an image. I'm going to destroy and kill you and feed you to the beasts. Not only did he sell them, he changed their sense of identity. Israel was known as the armies of the living God. He told them, you are servants of Saul, and they believed him. And he did it for 40 days. 40 days is enough time for anybody to be indoctrinated. When David came, he was coming fresh from the wilderness where he talks to God. I mean, the man who said that, by my God, I run through troops, I live over walls. So when he came to the battlefield, his mind wasn't corrupted by them. He thought straight. Even when he was speaking, it was clear. His mind was filled with the law of God. What law? He said, you are not defying David. You are not defying Saul. You are defying the armies of Israel. What's that? A renewed mind, as far as the Old Testament was concerned. So when David wanted to confront him, he wasn't acting on sensory evidence. Sensory evidence will never make any man go near Goliath. What sensory evidence should tell you is that take the best part of your belongings and leave. Insurance covers, develop drop food for your brothers and go home and tell them they are doing well. But for you to go and face him, you must be hearing something else. And David was hearing something else. So it was a type to show us a picture that it is not how strong Goliath is, it's how weak the mind of a victor is. Are you a victor in your spirit? Yes. You are more than a conqueror through him that what loves you. But how do you bring that conquering grace to bear? You have to speak it out. It becomes available to your mind. Your mind becomes strengthened. Then your spirit can manifest everything that God has prepared for you, because the weakness of the mind has been eliminated. Hallelujah. So, 1 Corinthians 14 again, please. But you, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Do what? Pray. In what? The Holy Ghost. He said, build up yourself. That word build up is what? Edify yourselves on your most holy faith. You have faith, can you be built upon it? Yes. Edify yourself on your most holy faith. So again, verse 5 again, 1 Corinthians 14, 5. I will that ye all speak with tongues in order that you prophesied. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive what? Edifying. So, when Paul says greater, he's using the word preference. He's saying of greater there doesn't mean the individual is greater. Greater there means of more benefit. Of more benefit is he who ministers prophecies to the church, because the whole church will be edified, than he who just ministers tongues. Say, because the person who is ministering tongues should move on to prophesy, because it's the prophecy that will actually be a blessing to the whole church. The tongues won't be a blessing except it's turned into prophecy. So he says, I want you to pray, every one of you, to be diligent in speaking in tongues in order, which is have a goal in mind that you might prophesy. What will prophecy do? To minister edification, exhortation, and comfort. What does God want to minister? Comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says that the God of all, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, with the comfort wherewith we also may be able to comfort others. What will God do? He will minister comfort to you. Enough comfort for you to comfort others. But who is the first person who needs to comfort? You, in that situation. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4, the Bible says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Guess who is the first weary person you encounter? You. Or your soul. And so you start experimenting on you. The more you are used to experimenting on you and speaking, and you are strengthening every single day, building up yourself on your most holy faith, the more God will be able to use to minister the same strength to others. While you have learned to believe in that ministry, you have learned to minister education to yourself, you become used to it by experience and by practice, such that when it's time to now go to Brother Sonny and minister, you won't be afraid. You won't hesitate. You will know this is God. Remember, of more benefit, of greater use, is he that speaks or prophesies than he who speaks in tongues, except he interprets. Except he interprets. So the intent of God is this. Everyone who speaks in tongues should be able to interpret. Everyone. And everyone. Oh, the people, are there people who are called to the ministry of tongues? And yes, there are people who are called that way. But in his most basic form, God expects every single believer to speak with tongues with the mindset of receiving interpretation. What's that interpretation? Wisdom. What we administer? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's God's plan. Why am I saying over and over again so that you start practicing? If you don't practice, you will never really enter fully into the benefits. You will still wait for something that God will say to you on the outside than for you to focus on the inside. Where is God's focus? The recreated spirit within you now carries the answer. And God can, through your cooperation, as you exercise your will, transfer revelational knowledge from your spirit to your soul. What is a knowing to your spirit man is a revelation to your soul. And when your soul sees that revelation, it's like what happened to Galileo, Eureka. A boldness comes. You just know that you know. That's why there are some things we do. Revelation is so strong, it literally changes one's walk. So somebody decides that, like I heard that, a minister was saying the fact that he was studying one day and praying, and he saw something, and from that time forward, he never locks his luggage again when he's traveling. Before, he used to find the best part locks, because he used to hear that, you know, people used to ransack baggages and everything. You use sellotape and bind. Say, he doesn't even bother locking it. And nobody touches his luggage. You know, you can't go and do that too. They may prefer everything that is in your luggage. Until you know what he knows. Now, what he knows is available to all. How did he get it? You may have to go through the exercise also. You have to go and pray in the spirit. Guess what? Because it's God's wisdom, the way it will come towards you may be different. It may not be don't lock your luggage. It may be something else. I don't know how many times I've started traveling. And I remember that along the way that I have not prayed. And I'm not conscious of doing anything wrong. Because there's really no need for me to pray as I'm traveling, since I am always praying. Because since I'm always fellowshipping with God, before I ever even travel, if I don't need to go on that trip, I will have known. So to now start praying, oh God, follow me on this trip. Go with me. Go ahead of me. Follow me as I'm coming back. It sounds. Question is, are you aware of any issue going on? No. Why should you feel guilty that you traveled and you didn't pray? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that where your prayer is supposed to start from? That you know he won't leave you. So as we're going, who is following you? Who is going with you? God. So if you're not supposed to go, what should have happened? When you're praying, in your normal fellowship with God. But I realize, I understand. If you've not fellowship with God for a long time, you now want to travel, suddenly you remember, I have a protector. Oh God of my father Abraham. It's your father Abraham, I remember now. As I'm going now, do not forsake your son. And you are thinking your unfaithfulness will make him unfaithful. Hallelujah. Now, what's the issue? It is your consciousness that is not aware of his faithfulness. It needs to be aware. What do? Pray in tongues. And let assurance flow out of your spirit into your soul. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down beside the waters. He's not in green pastures. He restores my soul. Causes me to walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Things start coming up from the inside. The strongest first source of assurance is God's word. Have you received scriptures before that you knew, but you didn't remember? But it came up as we were praying, and that was the answer. Lady was giving testimony the other day about the fact that as she was praying about what she was going to do next, what steps she should take concerning praying for her child, she had that on the inside. It is done. It is settled. And she acted, and that was it. The thing will come so easily. You even tell yourself, maybe that's not God. How do you take care of that? Practice. Practice until you recognize what edification is. Practice until you recognize this is the spirit of prophecy at work. Practice until you are used to those operations. Until on a daily basis you can tell, this is it. As we go on, I'll share some things with us. You can know that when you see Brother Nosa's next Sunday, what you picked up is actually for Brother Nosa. The time come when you can know, and you have seen it 3, 4, 5 days, even a week before. I will tell Brother Nosa something on Sunday, and if you want to prove it, as you go to him, Brother Nosa, you know, I just picked up something. I just felt, says, yeah, I've been praying about that. Thank you, thank you. Just confirm. What happens? You become bolder. Now, okay, I didn't miss it. I got it right. That was God. But it didn't look like God. It was God. But it's God. How do you eliminate that feeling of it didn't look like? Stay with it. Pray. And continue praying. And continue praying. And stay with it until you're edified. And you're built up on the inside. And your mind is in consonance with your spirit. Hallelujah. Say, I'm never weak. I'm never frustrated. I'm strong always. The wisdom of God is at work in me. The enthroned one, the mighty king, is alive in me today. I'm awake to righteousness. By righteousness, I prevail. I'm a child of favor. I do not succumb to rejection. I prevail in all my affairs. I know no fear, for the promise of the Father is sure in my life. I walk in the manifestations of the glory of God. I am a recipient of eternal life. I am a living example of the grace of God. God's goodness finds expression in me and through me. I am a new creation. I have never existed before, but I exist now to the glory of God. I am free from accidents in life. Everything I walk in is orchestrated by God. I am predestinated unto glory, unto honor, unto reigning. In the name of Jesus, I have no fear of anything in this life. I am in no way terrified of my adversaries. In the name of Jesus, there is a holy boldness, and I walk in at all times. That which was spoken concerning me comes to pass. I release the ability of God for the word of God to come to pass. I am in supernatural agreement with everything the Father has said. I have no fear of the word of God coming to pass. I know as I know my name. I know as I know that he rose, that everything God said concerning me has come to pass. This is my season. Supernatural harvest has been declared. It is my experience in the name of the Lord Jesus. I do not depend on circumstances. I depend on the word of God, that which abides and lives forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. As you learn to pray, you'll find some of those utterances coming. You will notice that there's a strong urge to declare the word of God. When you notice that, continue. The first part of you that gets affected is your soul. What's happening? Even that, by that means also, your soul is getting edified. Hallelujah. All right. We'll stop here.